Live from Calandra's Italian Village in Caldwell, New Jersey, it's Inside the Jets on 98.7 ESPN. Here's Larry Hardesty and Eric Allen.
And we welcome you to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. Hope you had a great Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Larry Hardesty and Eric Allen and EA will be joined by Devin Smith, who's here with us, and Dexter McDougal will join us a little bit later. But EA, we have breaking news right off the top. The injury bug has hit the Jets again.
Yeah, Bryce Petty lands on the injury reserve today. Unfortunately, making a tackle of Malcolm Butler in the second quarter of Saturday's game between the Jets and the Patriots. He tore his labrum in the process in his left shoulder. And yeah, after the game in the locker room, you could kind of sense that it was a major deal, that he wasn't going to be able to play this week. Now we'll have to see what the steps are as far as Petty is concerned moving forward. Now, this week, Jets, Bills, the Jets have two healthy quarterbacks. Remember, all summer we were talking about how many quarterbacks did the Jets
have? Four.
They kept four quarterbacks. Geno Smith, unfortunately, he's on injured reserve. Now Bryce Petty's on injured reserve, so the Jets will either start Ryan Fitzpatrick for the 11th time this season, or Christian Hackenberg would make his first professional start. Bottom line is, Christian Hackenberg, second-round pick from Penn State, will dress for the first time as a pro this weekend at MetLife Stadium.
And he'll finally get some reps. Yeah. And that's the big thing. You know, you hear on talk radio a lot of people talk about, why isn't he practicing? Why isn't he playing? Why isn't he dressing? Remember, he was the fourth-string guy. And when you look at how teams are run now with the new CBA and all the things, the fourth quarterback gets hardly any reps.
The plan all
you don't get it. He doesn't play.
The plan all along was this was going to be a redshirt season for Christian Hackenberg, much like it was for Bryce Petty. Now, different circumstances, bottom line. Petty came out of Baylor, fourth-round pick. He did not play his rookie season. Now, in his second season, he starts four games. Unfortunately, you feel really bad for Bryce Petty because Todd Bowles said after the Colts game, we're going to give Bryce these final four games and evaluate what he can do here. Now, Larry, he showed a lot of guts. He was gritty. A lot of intangibles against the 49ers as the Jets came back and won that game, the first of what you would expected to be Petty's four starts. But the following week, he goes down against the Miami Dolphins in between both Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake. So Fitzpatrick comes on, finishes the ball game, and then this game plays about a quarter against the Patriots. The Jets fall behind, and then early in the second quarter, Kyrie Robinson fumbled the ball with his first carry with the Jets, unfortunately. And it's been that kind of season for the Jets. He's been just snake-bitten throughout the year. And Petty, the gamer that he is, he jumps into play, tries to make a tackle, and the shoulder pops, and there you go. So, but the plan, you talk about Christian Hackenberg, the plan all along was when the Jets took him in the second round was he was not going to play this year. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know the fans are anxious to see him play. I think Todd Bowles right now has to make the right move for his football team. Again, the other thing that we saw from Petty here early on in his trial run at the end of the year before he got hurt was the Jets are dealing with a lot of injuries up front along that offensive line. And you can have a recipe for disaster at times when you have a young quarterback playing behind an inexperienced offensive line. And chemistry and continuity is so big up front. And the Jets for years had it with Nick Mangold at the center position and DeBrickashaw Ferguson over there at left tackle. But this year, it's been a totally different deal. We saw Nick Mangold go out. Ryan Clady came in here to replace Ferguson. Nobody replaces DeBrickashaw Ferguson, but you'd hope that Clady could give you 16 games over there. James Carpenter has been the only guy up front who's been able to stick it out. He's playing left guard for the Jets. Unfortunately, the green and white had to put Brian Winters on injured reserve last week. Ben Igelanin is playing right tackle for this ball club. You got Brandon Shell is playing right tackle, and he's doing a great job.
He's played well the past
few weeks. But actually, at left tackle, as you know, Benai Jelani's playing over there, and he started the season playing right tackle. So my point is the Jets are dealing with a lot of injuries up front. And again, you saw Bryce has some problems, some issues at times. He went down twice before he went out of the ball game against the Patriots.
You're right, EA. And I guess the point I'm making is, you know, whether Christian Hackenberg, what the original plan was, things change.
Yeah.
So when you have the injuries, you have to make the adjustments. But still, if you don't get the reps, you're not prepared to play. And that's really what Todd Bowles has been saying. He's not ready. He's not ready because he's not getting enough reps. And listen, coming in, yeah, you're right. That was the original plan, that he would sit this year. He had, the word out was because of some of the things that went on with the offensive line that he was behind in Penn State couple of years,
yeah,
that he got careless with some of his, you know, fundamentals. And that had to be worked on. So it's a work in progress. And there is an adjustment. And, you know, the guys that we have on and the guys that we've had on talk about it all the time. There is an adjustment. This is a much faster game at the pro level than it is. It's all about reading defenses. It's all about pointing out the mic. Some guys didn't even have a huddle, you know, when they were in school. So you make the adjustment. It will be interesting to see. Obviously, he'll get reps this week. That's the important thing. It'll be interesting to see whether Todd Bowles and the coaching staff decides to start Christian Hackenberg or whether they'll start Ryan Fitzpatrick and just keep him in emergency, or maybe even if the game is in the fourth quarter, EA,
right,
and it's a situation where we want to see him get some playing time, then they'll put him in the fourth quarter.
Well,
I think he need, for me,
yeah,
I'm kind of like the fans. I want to see what he can do.
You want to see what he can do, and a lot of people do, no doubt about that. A couple key points he made there is that Hackenberg played under a couple systems at Penn State. With Bill O'Brien, who's now with the Houston Texans, he flourished as a freshman. A lot of people were talking about, hey, maybe Christian Hackenberg will be a potential number one overall pick, a first rounder. Had some ups and downs as James Franklin, who is a good coach in his own right, but he came into Penn State, established a new system, and you mentioned there are some protection issues, and also a lot of people have talked about Hackenberg's mechanics. That's what he's going to have to work on in the offseason. Whether he plays against the Bills or not, he's going to have his first true professional offseason where you can take a look at some of those things you're doing with your feet, also your release, and things of that nature. But you're right about one thing, Larry, is that he has to be ready to play. Whether the Jets intend on him playing or not this week, it doesn't matter. He has to be ready to play because you only have two quarterbacks as of right now. But it's fascinating because last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick, first year with the Jets, 31 touchdown passes, established a franchise record. The Jets also established a franchise record in terms of total yards. Offensively, just hasn't been there throughout the year. You saw a glimpse of that in week two against the Buffalo Bills on that Thursday night game, as the Jets, I believe, had a pair of 100-yard receivers in Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, and Quincy Enunwa nearly got into the act as well. Matt Forte rushed for 100 yards, and a lot of people are saying, Eric, why are you waxing poetically about week two against the Buffalo Bills? My point was, a lot of people thought that this offense was ready to take the jump this year. And unfortunately, much like the defense and the special teams, the Jets have just had a difficult time getting anything going. And we saw that again this past week against the New England Patriots. You can't go in there and turn the football over if you're a 10-4 football team. But if you're a 4-10 football team, you go in there and you turn it over against the Patriots, you have no shot of winning.
No, and the guys talked about it all week. You were in the locker room. You heard them. They talked about it all week. You can't turn the football over because, unlike a lot of teams, what New England does is they really make you pay. And how they usually make you pay is with sevens.
Yeah.
Other teams may let you off with a three. They normally hit you in the mouth with sevens. And, you know, in that game, I don't know. You saw Bryce Petty when he originally got hurt. You saw him wincing and over there. I don't know who was in more pain. Was it him or was it Coach Todd Bowles? Because clearly when you watched him in the post-game press conference, he was dealing with some pain as well.
So we were on a plane, and a small plane, a short ride to Providence, Rhode Island. It was about 45 minutes or so. And I had no idea because you got on a plane, and I think we'll talk to both Dexter McDougal about this and Devin Smith as well. But when you get on a plane, you don't know who the heck is on the plane. You just go to your assigned seat, you know, maybe have a snack or something, shut eye, get some shut eye or watch something on the tube, and then you're there before you know it. We got off the plane, and that's when the PR department came over to us and said that, hey, listen, Todd has not made the trip, and he's back there at the hospital. So your immediate concern is, forget about the football game, is how is Todd Bowles doing? He's one of our colleagues. He is the head coach of this football club. He is a good man. He is a father. He is a husband. So your immediate concern is when somebody like that is, he's back in the hospital and he's fallen ill. So you're praying at that point. Fortunately enough, Todd Bowles made the trip Saturday morning, met the team at the hotel, and then from Providence, he jumped on the bus. He was in that first seat, and he got over there, and that's playing through some pain because he talked about it after the game, Larry. They're dealing with some gallstones, gallbladder issues, kidney stones. He had it all, and he was out there for this football team. So that says a lot about who he is as a man, and thank goodness he was okay, because your first thought is, wow, where's our head coach and what's wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. And he did not do anything today, media obligated. He had some more doctor appointments today. Yeah. So he will address the media tomorrow, and he'll get right back on track.
Yeah,
so
he'll be okay. He'll be talking a lot about the quarterback position.
Yes,
and, you know, and I know a lot of fans are very interested on what the call is going to be there. And I know there's a lot of people who want to see Christian Hackenberg play. But Todd Bowles got to make the right decision for his football team. But you hit the nail on the head. Hack has to be ready to play this week because the Jets have two healthy quarterbacks.
That's it. This portion of Inside the Jets presented by EY, brought to you by Selective Insurance. They are your solution for auto, home, business, and flood insurance. So visit selective.com today and find an agent near you. Selective, response is everything. When we return to Inside the Jets on NewYorkJets.com and 98.7 ESPN, we'll be joined by our first guest. He will be Dexter McDougal. We'll see what's happening in Maryland these days and also with the Jets. That's next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
Football is back, and if you love fantasy sports, there's only one place you want to play, FanDuel. FanDuel packs a full season of excitement into just 1 week. So what are you waiting for? Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. FanDuel. Be sports rich. Try FanDuel now. New users who deposit will get five free entries to 50-50 NFL Beginner Contest, one per week for 5 weeks. Just go to FanDuel.com and use the code EMPIRE. That's FanDuel.com, code EMPIRE. Void where prohibited.
Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. While NFL coaches and players use Surface Pro 4 this season, fans at home can show their fandom with the same device. Now available, the Surface Special Edition NFL Type Covers. And for a limited time, buy a Surface Pro 4 and any NFL Type Cover and get 15% off NFL Game Pass and a chance to win Super Bowl 51 tickets. Visit surface.com/NFL to learn more. Get your Surface at a Microsoft store or online today. Must be U.S. resident, 18 or older, ends January 1st, 2017. See website for official rules.
Hey, Jet fans, everyone loves to stay connected, but the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission would like to remind you that texting or talking while you drive is not only dangerous, it's against the law in New Jersey. It can cost you money, your license, or even someone's life. If you're behind the wheel, please put down the phone and just drive. Get the facts and share your thoughts at justdrive.com. This message brought to you by the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission.
At Selective, insurance is our business. For us, it goes beyond who we are. It's in our DNA.
2 days of rain led to a flood in our house. Tim was quick to respond and led us through the claims process. He even showed us how to prevent future losses. Tim and Selective's personal level of service provided comfort when we needed it the most.
We create diamond moments like this for our customers every day. Want to experience your own? Visit Selective.com to find an agent near you.
Hey, Jets fans, nothing beats being there live to cheer your favorite team on to victory. Prime Sport, the official travel partner of the Jets, is your source for tickets, hotel accommodations, and VIP experiences to all of the biggest sporting events in the country. From NFL to college football and basketball, get your official tickets, travel, and VIP packages and more at PrimeSport.com. Don't just watch it on TV. Go to PrimeSport.com for the ultimate game day experience. Jets fans, we've got something for you to do the weekend before the big game. Join us at Jets House, Saturday, January 28th and Sunday, January 29th. Meet current Jets players, Jets legends, and flight crew, all at the new location, Spin New York. Relax in the laid-back atmosphere and enjoy free table games, food, beverages, and chances to win prizes. Jets House is supported by Clorox, Corona, FanDuel, JetBlue, and MasterCard. Are you ready for Jets House at Spin? For tickets and appearance schedule, go to NewYorkJets.com/JetsHouse.
Building a better working world, and by FanDuel, have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Thank you for joining us on NewYorkJets.com and 98.7 ESPN and EA. We have our very special guest.
All right, Larry, we're now joined by Jets cornerback Dexter McDougal here at Calandra's. Dexter and I are having a difficult day. We are both Maryland products. I graduated a couple years before him, 1998 to be exact. But regardless, Maryland played in a bowl game today. It's bowl season. Yep. They played the Boston College Eagles. And Dex, what happened to our alma mater?
It was a hard-fought game. They ended up losing by 6 points. Defense didn't take care of business, and we fell to 6-7. But it's a lot to build on. You know, Coach Durkin's, you know, so it's a lot to build on from him and from that standpoint. So I feel like we're going to be able to push forward from here. You know, they got a new facility being built. It's going to help with recruiting. So we took a L today, but for the future, I think it's bright.
The Terrapins shall rise again.
Hey, no question. I expect that they will, and you know, there's only one loss. You know, there's something to build on. You learn a lot from losing.
You do.
You know, and that's where you go, and you talked about the program moving forward. So now let's talk about you, and how close are you going back in touch with the program and guys in the program and talking to them and letting them know what life is like in the National Football League?
Yeah, I still talk to a lot of those guys, mostly the juniors and seniors. You know, they got a lot of questions for me. You know, I try to make sure they stay focused on, you know, college, though. You know, I try to let them know that if they handle the business in college, then everything else takes care of itself. But yeah, I try to go back whenever I can. I didn't get to go back for a game or anything this season, but I try to go back whenever I can in the off season and just be around those guys and, you know, pick their brain a little bit. They can pick mine and just be around the program.
How would you explain your pro experience to date? Because you were an early round draft pick, had a knee injury, went to injured reserve. Then you got in some ball games last year. This year you were actually waived but brought back in the practice squad, and now you're participating again on the active roster.
Yeah.
It's been a ride all over the place.
Yeah, it's been a bumpy ride. I mean, like you said, my first year, you know, I went down with ACL, you know, was slotted in to play a lot that season. Last year I got to play a lot, healthy. And then this off season, I worked hard, was getting ready to, define my role on the defense. And then when I came back for camp, the first couple of days I was doing really well. And then I had pulled my hamstring. And then I came back to that was in camp. So I came back like a week and a half later and then picked right back where I left off and then ended up pulling it again.
Yeah.
So that was it for me for the preseason. And then, like you said, I ended up getting waived. It's just been a bumpy ride, but I actually ended up healing up. I was on the practice squad. I finally healed up. They brought me back to the active roster, and, I haven't turned back since. So right now it's been a bumpy ride, but, I'm still positive. I know what I can do as a player for me. I just got to keep working at my body in the offseason. I feel like, that's going to be a major key for me going into next season. Always come back ready to play. And then there's an injury or something that happens. So it's something I got to do, work at in the off season, get my body where it needs to be, and just keep moving forward from there.
Larry and I have talked to a number of guys about this throughout the year and throughout our years up here on Inside the Jets, is the hamstring issue, the injuries. How difficult are those? Because, it seems like it's so tough to put them behind you, because once you start thinking that, okay, I'm making progress in my recovery,
right,
and here it comes right back.
Yeah, so that's what happened with me. So I had been rehabbing it every day, all day, having to watch practice sucked, but, I was just rehabbing all day, every day. Like I said, I came back about a week and a half because it was a mild strain.
Yeah.
That, it wasn't anything, too major. Practiced 3 days straight and I was good. I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'm good. And then the fourth day of practice, I don't know, it just gave out on me again, man. It was just really upsetting. But it's just like you said, you could, for a hamstring, you think you're good and then
it can pop at you
at any moment. It just does it again. And then it kind of follows you for the rest of the season. But, it's been good for me now. It's probably been almost 2 months now since I've been healed up. So, I feel confident in it. I've been running like crazy down there on special teams and whatnot. So I feel confident in it right now. We got one more game left. I still feel confident in it.
Listen, you can't be worried about a hamstring running on special teams.
Nah, I can't. you can't. You got to go all out, man. That's what I've been doing. So I've been selling out every play, man, just trying to do whatever I can do to contribute to the team.
What has your classwork done to help you on the field while you've been hurt? What has that classwork done, the preparation and stuff in the classroom do to prepare
you?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm always active in the meeting rooms and whatnot, whether I'm injured or not, But obviously when you're not practicing, you have more focus on that. You can even, even when you're in the training room, you can be on your iPad or something, just watching film and just getting better at any way possible. So I've always been that way when it came to the meeting rooms and stuff like that. So I guess being injured just made it, I was more specific on watching film and whatnot even more when I was in the training rooms. Just try to get better even if I couldn't be out there on the field.
How can you explain some of the coverage busts and the breakdowns that have happened this season in the secondary? You guys hold each other so accountable.
Yeah.
And I know you have high standards back there. And I know it's frustrating for each of you guys. Like, when you look at it now, is 15 games through the season and things like that, what can you say?
Sometimes it's just communication out there on the field. We'll get an unscouted look that we haven't really seen in practice. And, if the communication's not there, it happens so fast. So if you don't say anything and one guy's doing one thing, another guy's doing something else, and you're not on the same page, it's going to lead to a big play, a first down, a break in the coverage. So really for us, it's just on our end, it's just communication. Everything's just communication. Everybody, like you said, holds each other accountable. And I know in our room for sure, we never want to, let anybody down. So with us, it's just communication. That's what it's been. If it's something we haven't seen or just something, say a guy's up in press, and someone else comes over in a motion to like a stack or something, the guy's still impressed and, the game's going so fast and he can't hear what the other guy's saying. You kind of get on a different page and, like I said, it's going to end in a big play or, the offense is going to convert. And, that's just what it's been right now for us.
Yeah.
What's the challenges? You've played slot, you've played corner spot. What's the challenges with both?
I mean, obviously in the slot, you can get everything. I think on the outside, it's pretty straightforward. You get a couple of different routes. Yeah, but for me playing in the slot on the outside, like I got to get back in the nickel, you know, for the Miami Dolphins game, last week, which felt good for me. But obviously when I was in there and I was going against Landry, you know, you can get a lot of different routes from guys on the inside. So for me, I think playing the inside is a lot harder than the outside personally. But I like the challenge though. But, if you were to compare it, I think on the outside, I mean, it's tough wherever you're going to play, but I think you get a certain amount of routes on the outside. Opposed to the inside, the guy can go anywhere.
You were the rookie a couple of years ago. So even though you didn't experience it because the injury took that year away from you, you were still around. How do you think Justin Burris has handled himself as a pro here as he gets more time early in his career?
Oh, yeah, JB, man. JB's been working real hard. You know, in the first half of this season, he was all special teams, you know, and even with that, you know, he was doing a really good job. He's one of the, to me, he was one of the top gunners in the league.
Yeah.
He was making a lot of plays there. Finally got his name called to play defense and for the San Fran game, and he balled out, honestly. He balled out this last game. You saw it. I mean, he had a penalty. And then there was a deep ball where the receiver got behind them, and we had a PI call or whatever. But overall, he had like three or four pass breakups, you know, for him. You know, him being a rookie going in to, you know, Gillette Stadium and making plays like that, man, it says a lot about him. And, you know, he's another guy in our room who, you know, holds himself accountable and doesn't want to let any of the guys down. And I think it shows out there on the field.
Dexter, we've talked on a couple of occasions. You do a lot of work with kids. You like going back, talking with kids, doing, you know, clinics and stuff with kids. I think you got a little coach in you. How much fun do you enjoy talking back with young kids about football and teaching them different positions and stuff?
Yeah, I have fun with it, man. I love the kids. You know, in the offseason, I had went to a couple camps, a couple guys' camps with Navarro Bowman's camp. He had, like, a football tournament, and you know, I was one of the coaches there. And I don't know, man. I just love it. I love giving back to the kids because I can see being them. You know, most players said, like, you know, they remind me of myself when I was a little kid, man. And, you know, we didn't have camps like that where I grew up. And to give back and, you know, let those kids be in the presence of NFL players, you know, it says a lot. I mean, it means a lot to me, you know. And I really get into it just watching the kids because, you know, they're playing for the love of the game, man. Yeah. They love the game, and it brings you back to that moment when you were a little kid. And that's what it is for me.
Your perspective, what happened this weekend as far as the information flow from what you guys were hearing about Coach Todd Bowles, who didn't make the trip with us on Friday, and then can you just kind of break it down when you found out, what you were told, and then when's the first time you saw him on Saturday and how things unfolded from there?
Yeah, as soon as we got off the plane, we had like these, I guess they have, I didn't even know, we had like a system that sends like a mass text or mass email, even calls your phone, and, you know, gives you an update. So we got that on our phone. You know, as soon as we arrived at the hotel, we have a team meeting. So everybody's like, oh, what's going on? And then I know myself, I was like, I didn't see Coach on the plane.
Right.
I was like, maybe that's what it is. And then when we got there, we had a meeting with the whole team. You know, everybody was there, security, coaches, GM. And basically just told us that Coach was sick. You know, he was under the weather. We didn't really know what was going on, but they said, you know, there's a chance he might not be at the game, but he's chomping at the bit trying to get back in the morning. So maybe we'll see him in the morning. If not, then, you know, we'll proceed from there. So we'll keep y'all updated. And he ended up being there the next day. You know, I seen him in the locker room, and I was like, all right, we're all good. I didn't really go up to him and say anything. I was getting ready to go out and everything, but I seen him. I was like, all right, cool.
It must have been reassuring just to see him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it meant a lot to us. You know, for him to be sick, you know, I guess he had went to the hospital as well. And then literally the next morning, he's there. You know what I'm saying? It says a lot, you know, about him, you know, how much he cares about this team and how much he knew, how important he knew it was for him to be here, you know, our leader. So it said a lot.
All right. Hey, Dexter, thanks for stopping by and joining us. Good luck on Sunday, and keep healthy in the offseason and next season.
Yeah, man.
Thanks,
got
Dex.
You.
All right, it's Dexter McDougal. Jets House is back for 2017. Join your favorite Jets at Spin New York on Saturday, January 28th and Sunday, January 29th. For tickets and more information, go to NewYorkJets.com/JetsHouse. A little bit later, we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. But first, Devin Smith will join us. That's next on 98.7 ESPN.
On January 1st, please support the New York Jets Coat Drive benefiting Jersey Cares and bring new and gently used coats to our game versus the Buffalo Bills. All coats will be collected at gates upon entry and donated to Jersey Cares. Help the Jets provide coats to families in need this holiday season. Remember, that's the Jets Coat Drive on January 1st to benefit Jersey Cares.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative. We build the infrastructure New Jersey and the Jets rely on.
Football is back, and if you love fantasy sports, there's only one... ...will get five free entries to 50-50 NFL Beginner Contest. One per week for 5 weeks. Just go to FanDuel.com and use the code EMPIRE. That's FanDuel.com, code EMPIRE. Void where prohibited.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Lightning.
Hey, bud, Joe Pal Lightning. I was just hanging out in the old Cloudaroo here. Thought I'd give you a call. I hope you're still not sore about that time I deep fried your big screen TV with that bolt. Yeah, I've been meaning to pay you back for that one, for sure. A little short on cash at the moment, but any day now. Yep. Well, anywho, talk later.
Lightning won't pay for the damage it causes. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting coverage a snap. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Welcome back to Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey, for another edition of Inside the Jets. And now we go to the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, let's bring in wide receiver Devin Smith. And Devin, we'll talk about you as a receiver here in a minute, but one spot where I think you're really making inroads that you can see each week now, and we talked to Dexter about this a little bit with special teams, is that how do you feel like you're showing up on special teams? Because I like the way you've used your speed, and also you bring in an element of physicality out there.
Yeah, man, that's you got to be physical out there on special teams. A lot of guys out there are physical, so you got to, you know, bring A game every week. But, you know, all through college, you know, I was a gunner, and, you know, I was pretty good at it. And Coach Meyer, you know, put a big emphasis on it. So, you know, took it in stride and just kept going.
I think people forget that about you, Dev, is that before you came out, Coach Urban Meyer did say that he's not only a vertical threat who gets down the field and one of the best vertical threats in all the country, perhaps all the nation, but you were considered the top gunner in all college football, maybe.
Yeah, man, it was, you know, a big credit to our punter, you know, Cam Johnston. He real good punter. And, you know, Coach Meyer told him to put it on the spot, and he'll put it right on. And all I got to do is just beat my guy, get down there.
That's got to be a lot of fun, special teams, huh?
Yeah, you know, especially making tackles, man. Yeah, I used to play defense in high school, so.
Oh, yeah, what position defense?
Yeah,
you play?
I played corner and safety, so.
All right.
It's good to be out there trying to kiss people.
So, yeah, at the corner and safety, he knows what receivers do, and as a receiver, he knows what the corners and safety does.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you don't see it, and that's not a knock at receivers. There's a lot of those guys might have played cornerback in high school like Devin has, but you don't see the physicality, them coming out looking to really pop somebody, and that's not a knock at guys, but I see that from Devin on special teams. Okay, so let's get something out of the way real quick. Did the ball sneak up on you in the end zone when Fitz threw it to you. It seemed like it just came at you just a little too quick.
Right when it came, right when it hit my fingertips, the guy tripped me up when I was falling back and couldn't get a good grip on it. So.
Is that what happened? Yeah. He started to trip you up just a tad? Because that... There it was. That was touchdown number two in your career.
Oh, yeah. Tough day for the Jets. But, you know, we're going to bounce back, man, and you know, just keep on working.
How great was it just to be back on the field?
It was good, man. You know, I was telling my family, you know, I was just glad to be back out there and, you know, running around and not having to sit on the sideline and watch the game.
What has this year been like for you, Devin? How can you explain it from a individual perspective, and then we could talk a little bit about the team?
Yeah, man, it's been real tough. You know, just, you know, the 6 weeks that I was out on PUP list, just watching our team take the losses, man, it was real hard on myself because, you know, I felt like I could have been out there helping them, you know, matter if it's on offense or special teams. And when I did get a chance to play, I felt like it was, you know, a little too late, season almost over with. So it was kind of bummed out the whole year, kind of just, you know, not getting a chance to get back on the field when I was practicing, you know, very well when I got off the list. But, you know, I just took it in stride, told myself every day just keep going in there, working hard, and, you know, when I get my chance, just go out there and just have fun with it.
Like Larry was mentioning, how difficult is it to get back in that flow at practice, because you know it. All the quarterbacks talk about chemistry and getting those reps down at practice. So you come off the PUP list and you want to make those inroads on practice. But then on the other side of it too, even if you are practicing well and you don't get called up on Sunday and you are inactive, you really got to be patient at that point, because I got to imagine you're chomping at the bit.
Yeah, you know, it was tough just because, you know, those guys, you know, they've been playing, you know, since the beginning of the season. And me just going in there in the middle of the season, it was, you know, tough on them because they know I haven't been playing in a while. They didn't know it what shape I was in. So when I got out there, you know, my whole goal was just to show them that I could play and that I was in shape, you know, during my whole process, you know, with recovering from my ACL surgery, you know, went well and working out was going well. And I felt like I was making progress each and every day. So when I did get a chance to get out there on the practice field again, you know, I just kept on going.
Devin, when did you know that you were ready to go? Sometimes the injury heals physically more than it does mentally, where you're ready to really, really test it. When did you know, I'm good, I know I can do this?
I say right toward the end of training camp, I felt I could do stuff as, you know, receiver stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just catching the ball, running a little bit, just getting my legs into the running motions again. And, you know, right after they took me off the PUP list, I felt like I was ready and I could go out there and play. But, you know, they, you know, had their decisions that, you know, they had to make, and I, you know, left that up to them. And, you know, they was going to bring me out, I was going to be ready.
Now, a lot of people at home were saying, hey, listen, the Jets aren't going to the postseason, the Bills aren't going to the postseason, but for a player like you, I mean, how big of a just getting out there on the field would Sunday be?
Man, it'd be great, man. You know, just with me not playing for so long and not even just being able to be out there on the practice field with the guys, you know, that's something that I miss. And so I was watching everything from afar, and from, you know, it felt kind of like I was disconnected a little bit because, you know, they were over there practicing while I was over here working out. But just being back out there, you know, that means everything. So it's, you know, stuff like that, it's things that you can't take for granted. So every day I just got to make sure I'm going out there and working hard for a goal that I have.
Devin, what's that receiver room like? You got some Ohio State guys in that room now. Jalen Marshall's in there. What's that receiver room like, and how have you been able to help him adjust to the playbook that I'm sure might be just a little bit bigger than it was at Ohio State?
Yeah, man, you know, we got a lot of guys with, you know, different personalities in that room, man, but, you know, everybody love each other, man, and that's you know, what we feed off each other. So, you know, when one guy does one good thing, another guy wants to do another. But, you know, with Jalen, you know, I've watched him grow, you know, since he was young, and, you know, seeing him at this level, you know, him balling, man, I'm proud of him, and it's stuff that I know that he could do. So, you know, when I see him out there making plays, I'm like, that's just Jalen.
Larry mentioned Ohio State, and of course, Jets have a pair of Buckeye receivers on their ball club, and Devin and the aforementioned Jalen Marshall. Ohio State, Clemson, Saturday, the second national semifinal. They'll follow Alabama, Washington. What do you think about this matchup for your school?
Man, this going to be a huge one, man. And I know Coach Meyer, he has them guys ready. And there's a couple guys on there that I play with, you know, I talk to still. So they're ready for it. They're ready for the challenge.
You'll be at the team hotel. So I got to imagine a little bit. You'll have some time after meetings because this game will be the late one. So you'll have some time to watch it. You think you get together with Jalen and watch it?
I'll probably get to get together. Me, Jalen, Darren, probably Nick as well.
D-Lee. Buckeye party.
Yeah. D-Lee invite a little bit. A teammate who's on the defensive side of the ball, about that.
Have a little fun.
Yeah, Buckeye takeover.
Yeah. For sure. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
Best of luck. Hope you get on the field.
Appreciate it.
Stay healthy, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
It's Devin Smith.
Yes, sir.
Follow the Jets on Instagram at NYJets. This is where Jet fans like you get photos and videos of your favorite players and access you can't get anywhere else. When we return to Inside the Jets here at Calandra's, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. That's next on NYJets.com and 98.7 ESPN.
Jets fans, we've got something for you to do the weekend before the big game. Join us at Jets House, Saturday, January 28th and Sunday, January 29th. Meet current Jets players, Jets legends, and flight crew, all at the new location, Spin New York. Relax in the laid-back atmosphere and enjoy free table games, food, beverages, and chances to win prizes. Jets House is supported by Clorox, Corona, FanDuel, JetBlue, and MasterCard. Are you ready for Jets House at Spin? For tickets and appearance schedule, go to NewYorkJets.com/JetsHouse.
They couldn't play football without us. We built this stadium. You couldn't tailgate without us. We probably built the road that got you here. Most of all, we promote economic development. That means investments in infrastructure and construction to provide opportunities for developers, union contractors, and members of Operating Engineers Local 825. We're Eli.
Law in New Jersey. It can cost you money, your license, or even someone's life. If you're behind the wheel, please put down the phone and just drive. Get the facts and share your thoughts at justdrive.com. This message brought to you by the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission.
Hi, this is Eric Decker from the New York Jets. Bullying and cyberbullying have reached alarming proportions among our youth. That is why the Jets and I have teamed up with Stomp Ball Bullying to tackle bullying in the tri-state area. Stomp Ball Bullying is the leading national anti-bullying and cyberbullying organization for kids and teens in the U.S. If you or someone you know is a victim of bullying, please go to stompballbullying.org for help.
Around my house, I'm called difficult. I know what I want, and I always want more. Take my insurance, for instance. I want more coverages, but there's no chance I'm paying more for it. My agent knows this, and that's why she recommended the Selective Edge. With the Selective Edge, I get higher coverage limits and even coverages I didn't know I need. And my agent knows what discounts I deserve. More coverage, more options, less money. That's not too difficult, is it? Find an agent near you by visiting Selective.com. Selective. Response is everything.
Calandra's has been synonymous with great Italian food in northern New Jersey for over 50 years. With three award-winning restaurants 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium, Cucina Calandra, Calandra's Mediterranean Grill, and Il Vecchio Cafe are all great options before or after a game. As an official partner of the New York Jets, we offer 20% off on game day at any of our locations when you show your Jets rewards card or ticket. Each with family-friendly atmospheres, our restaurants offer unique menus from a la carte to family style, along with gluten-free options. Find out more on calandras.net.
Hey, Jets fans, nothing beats being there live to cheer your favorite team on to victory. Prime Sport, the official travel partner of the Jets, is your source for tickets, hotel accommodations, and VIP experiences to all of the biggest sporting events in the country. From NFL to college football and basketball, get your official tickets, travel, and VIP packages and more at PrimeSport.com. Don't just watch it on TV. Go to PrimeSport.com for the ultimate game day experience.
Geico presents Great Calls in Sports History.
With the game on the line, starting quarterback Bobby Klein called a last-second audible that resulted in a devastating sack, losing not only the game, but knocking Klein clean out of his lucky, unwashed socks. That was a bad call. But he made a great call that day by switching to Geico to save money on car insurance. Score one for savings, but also score one for that blitzing linebacker.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
Inside the Jets is presented by EY, building a better working world, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Jets insider Eric Allen and your host Larry Hardesty.
Coming to you live from Calandra's Italian Village here in Caldwell, New Jersey. 1-800-919-3776 will take your phone calls. But first, DA, let's take a peek at the Jets' next opponent. It'll be the final game of the year at MetLife Stadium, a home game against the Buffalo Bills, whom you could argue was probably their best offensive performance in week two.
Yeah, like we were talking about in the opening segment. I mean, this team looked dynamic offensively. We saw Ryan Fitzpatrick have one of his best games as a pro. Brandon Marshall go off, Eric Decker go off, Quincy Enunwa participate. The offensive line was tremendous. Matt Forte got into the end zone three times. He rushed for 100 yards. The Bills, I believe the run is now for them 17 consecutive seasons without a playoff appearance. They had a very difficult loss to the Miami Dolphins last week. I believe they had close to 600 yards of total offense. Tyrod Taylor played perhaps his best game in the National Football League. And they couldn't get it done. Miami's going to the playoffs, which, Larry, if you told me that before the season, I would have never had believed you. But the Dolphins not only swept the Jets, but they swept the Buffalo Bills as well. So they're sitting there with 10 wins. The Dolphins are going to the playoffs along with the New England Patriots. And when you think about Buffalo right now, Shady McCoy has had a fantastic year. He's got nearly 1,300 yards on the ground. He averages more than 5 yards per carry. He's also a threat out of the backfield. Tyrod Taylor can hurt you with his feet. He's also an accurate long ball thrower. They're getting both Sammy Watkins and Charles Clay more involved down the stretch. But for Buffalo, another year without the playoffs because it's the defense that has failed them. It failed them in week two against the Jets, and it's failed them continually throughout this season against the Miami Dolphins. They could not close because the defense could not get a stop. Much like the Jets, the Bills are going to have some tough decisions to make in the offseason because neither one of these teams is where they want to be.
Nope, there's no doubt about it. 1-800-919-3776. As always, we'll start out with Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're up first on Inside the Jets.
Hey, Larry, hey, Eric, what's happening? Hope you both enjoyed your holidays.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks, Sarah.
Well, you know, of course, you know, the year, you know, well, what could I say? There's really not much to say about it. You know, regroup and start looking forward to next year. But, you know, there's a perception out there about players quitting and not giving an effort. And, you know, as crazy as I am, I happened to run through the game this afternoon from this past weekend. And let me tell you, these guys put in an effort, you know, whether it's lack of talent in certain areas or miscommunication or whatever excuse you want to use, most of these guys gave a full effort. So, you know, I don't care what people are saying or what they're reading. You know, they're playing hard for this coach, and hopefully they'll continue to do it this Sunday. And I'll throw a question out to both of you. There's a lot of talk about Taylor, about the Bills maybe not wanting to keep him because of his contract. And right now, of course, you know, we have a big question mark at quarterback. And I'm not saying Hackenberg's not the future. Who knows what's going to be with Petty. But I'll tell you, if a guy like Tyrod Taylor, the Bills don't want to, you know, work out his contract issues, and he's out in the open market, that's a guy I have a lot of interest in. I don't know how you guys feel.
All right, Ira, thanks for the phone call as always. That's interesting, EA. I would take a chance on him if I could restructure and get the deal right because here's what I know. He's familiar with the division. We've got, I think, some young receivers that he could connect with. You've got a veteran in Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker. You know, we'll see what the mix is. You got Quincy Enunwa. You've got a decent running game. I think with a quarterback – that, like I said, that has a little bit of experience, it buys you some more time, at least even if you bring him in to battle with Hackenberg or Petty or whatever the group of quarterbacks is going to be, I think it's something that you should look into.
Now, he's under contract with the Bills. We know there is a deadline coming up where they have to decide whether he's going to be on the roster in 2017. They're going to owe him, not against the cap, but they would owe him nearly close to $30 million. That's a big decision to make. Ira's asking me and you what we feel about Tyler. Here's the thing so far in his career. He is a dynamic playmaker. He can make plays when the pocket breaks down. He's an accurate vertical thrower of the football. And he doesn't turn the football over. That's the one thing that really jumps out at me about Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't hurt you, okay? So you look at his turnover statistics as he's been a starter in the National Football League. He does not turn the football over. There's areas that he can get better in. No doubt about that. The Bills have a monstrous decision to make because, to Ira's point and your point, Larry, if he's not starting in Buffalo, he's going to be starting somewhere else next year. And some people think that this guy's an ascending ball player. He just came off his best game of his career, threw for over 300 yards against the Dolphins. And then other people would say, hey, Buffalo's offense should be better because they have a lot of talent there. And the aforementioned Shady McCoy, a guy like Sammy Watkins, Charles Clay is one of the better receiving tight ends of football. So it's an interesting name to follow throughout the offseason.
It is. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. He's next on Inside the Jets. What's up, Artie? Artie, are you there? All right, we'll get to Artie in a second.
Hey,
there he is. Hey, Artie.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for calling. I want to follow up on Ira with the quarterback situation. I mean, obviously it's a problem. But, I mean, you're drafting two guys in fourth round. Okay, fine. But Hackenberg. And to invest that money, and that's the problem that I had with Fitzpatrick in the beginning. When he was making $4 million and he was throwing the career numbers, that's why we won 10 games. But then when you give him $10 million, he's got to earn that money, and it's a little bit different. How all of a sudden the Bills can't give him the money, but we can, and we have a problem? I just think that our situation right now is just we have so many different problems that to spend money, you know, whether it be Cutler or Romo or Taylor, it's just not – it's not building – what we need to build. I think our offensive line is horrible. Our secondary is horrible. And I think we got to go from there before. And here's the thing. Everybody points to the quarterback situation. The Texans made the playoffs. The Jets made the playoffs with a first year coming out of college in Sanchez. There's other aspects. The Jets all won four games, not because of Fitzpatrick and the quarterback situation. Their special teams is 32nd in the league, and our secondary is horrible. We have nobody to intercept the ball. And then when we have safety, one guy get hurt, we have strong safeties playing free safety. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Artie, thanks for the call.
Look, he wrapped that up quick.
Yeah,
it was impressive, Artie.
It was. He
wrapped it up.
Down.
He said, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, he vented and he's done. But listen, there are a lot of issues on the Jet team that needs to be addressed, and that's why these past couple of games, EA, have been important because you want to look at some of the young people to see, some of the younger guys, to see if they can move into some of these slots so then you can know in the offseason what you have to do.
There are a number of issues that have to be addressed, and the offseason will start in earnest for the Jets in 6 days. It's Monday night. In 6 days, the Jets are no longer a 5-11 or 4-12 team. They're 0-0. They're 0-0, and the offseason begins, and a ton of decisions are to be made. And you're right about the continuing evaluation of young players, but Artie's right, too. Just because you don't have a quarterback right now who you know is going to be the guy in the future doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily have to reach for one. And you never want, no matter what team you are, who you are, you can't reach for a quarterback. You have to take the player who's going to be the best fit for your roster. And everybody's talking about the Dallas Cowboys this year. It's fascinating to me that they built that team with the offensive line. They kept on drafting an offensive line, addressing up front. Then last year they bottomed out last year, okay? The Jets took advantage of a team that was quarterback by Matt Castle at the end of the year in December, as many people probably forget to this point, because Dallas is sitting there the number one seed. They're probably the NFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl. But they bought him out when Tony Romo got hurt last year, and then they were fortunate because they did not draft Dak Prescott in the first, second, or third round. They drafted him in the fourth round. But they did have the offensive line. They did have Dez Bryant. They did have Jason Witten. And they drafted Ezekiel Elliott because they bought him out last year. So they had an opportunity to draft a guy like Ezekiel Elliott. There are different ways of building your roster. Yes, you are right, Artie. You can't just necessarily grab a quarterback early because you might have a deficiency there. You have to do what's right for your program. And if the Jets, Larry, are scheduled, right now they're scheduled to select six overall. If they can get a Leonard Williams type, because Leonard Williams was selected number six overall, wherever the position is. I know people at home are like, we don't need another defensive lineman. That's not my point. I'm saying you want to get an impact player wherever you're drafting early. And it doesn't necessarily have to be quarterback. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But as you said, it's going to be a lot of work is going to be done.
There
and listen, the work has already started. The members of the staff have been to scouting. They've looked at bowl games. They've gone to a number of places. They have an
Pro
idea about
free agency throughout the year. Yeah, all that stuff.
So
yeah.
The one thing, the good thing is you can turn things around quickly. That's the positive thing about it. All right, partner, we'll see you next week.
All right, Larry. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year. We'll see you then. All right, that wraps up this edition of Inside the Jets presented by our friends at EY. Special thanks to Gerald Downer here, to Michelle and Ray Santiago back.
And Chris Sobbins is working the camera, and then Chad Freeman's back in the studio, and our buddy Jorge, who was an intern last year, is down in Carolina. He's watching every week. How about that?
That's excellent. He's a big fan of yours.
And Neil DeMarc is yours, next Larry.
On 98.7 ESPN.
They couldn't play football without us.